topic that I want to cover with you today. It's like min hashamayim, because I had this shayla, mamish this shayla last night for my first licht. But let's just give a little bit of background. What we're going to try to do is set up three categories of brachas. One is called Birchas HaNenim. The other is Birchas HaMitzvahs. That's where we're going to put most of our emphasis. And the third is Kiddush. Kiddush is somewhere in between. It's a Birchas HaShevach, but it also has elements of Mitzvah and Nenim in it. We'll see. So with regard to Birchas HaNenim, we're going to find that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and that's going to be on page 2 of the Maror Makomos, that in a case where you took a fruit into your hands, that's called Natal Biyado Pri Liachlo, Berachalo, V'nafal Miyado V'nevad Onimas, so the fruit fell from your hand, and now it's not edible anymore. Tzarech lachzar ulevarech. When he takes, another pri into his hands, he has to make another bracha. So that's point number one. We're going to get back to this in just a minute, because the Rama has something to say about this. But that's the general rule with regard to Birchas HaNen. So it means the bracha was chal on one fruit, we'll call it a banana, Joe, and then the banana fell. Okay, no, not in this case, it didn't fall. So you have to make a new bracha on the second banana. Then we have Birchas HaMitzvos. And this breaks down into a whole bunch of different cases. We're going to have a case, for example, where he made a bracha on a talus, and before he got a chance to cover his head with the talus fell. And now he might have to make a second bracha when he puts the talus on. Or, for example, he made a bracha on tefillin, and nifsak hakesher, then something went wrong with the knot of the kesher shel tefillin, he's got to make another bracha when he puts on a second pair of tefillin. In the case of a Sefer Torah, he came for an aliyah to the Torah, he made a bracha, and then they found a mistake in the Sefer, they bring a second Sefer, and he's got to make a bracha. He made a bracha on a shofar, he took the shofar into his hands, and he has to now blow the shofar. He couldn't blow the shofar, now he starts blowing. Does he have to make a new bracha? He went into the sukkah, and now after he made a bracha on the sukkah, he went out of the sukkah, came back into the sukkah. Does he have to make a second bracha? He made a bracha on Dalet Minim, and it turns out that his aravos were pasul. Now he gets kosher aravos. Does he have to make a new bracha? He checks his mezuzah, puts it back up, and finds out that the mezuzah is not kosher. All these cases are cases of Birchas HaMitzvah. Then we have the case of Kiddush. In the case of Kiddush, we're going to see that if he made a bracha on the cup of wine, and now he finds out, lo and behold, it's mayim, it's not yayin. Or, for example, he made a bracha on the coast and it was nishpach, it spilled, before he got a chance to drink any of it. So the halacha might depend upon how much wine he has on the table. If he has not only wine in the cup, but also wine on the table, then maybe if he had das, that in case this is not good, he'll take the wine on the table, or when he finishes this, this cup of wine, if he wants to add wine, then it could be then, maybe there's an exception to the rule. In any event, the real question that I want to discuss with you today, which is going to depend on all the other questions that we mentioned, is the case that I actually had last night. This is not a fabrication, I actually had this. I didn't realize that the... Excuse me for just a second. Got something caught in my throat. I didn't realize last night when I made the bracha on the first licht that the oil inside was not oil. I'm gonna do a show and tell here. I don't know if you could see it. This is what I made a bracha on last night.
Bring it closer.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to see. Oh, there, that's it. Wait, one second. Okay, how's it now? Can you see it?
Yeah.
Now these things, you know, you buy them in the box. You know, you get 44 of them, whatever. And you pay good money for it. This is not from Tel's Yeshiva, you know, where you get the colored candles with a little please donate online kind of thing. You know, we're doing a cause match or something. Anyway, This is the real thing. But there's only one problem which I didn't realize. The oil coagulated. And it's actually, well, if you keep pushing on it, it'll probably turn back into a liquid, but it basically died as soon as I lit it. And my question was, when I finally found a candle, because I couldn't find the proper oil, do I have to make another bracha? So lemaisa, I didn't make another bracha.
Again, what's your problem with that? Because
somehow it didn't take. In other words, it didn't draw any of the oil. So it, you know, as soon as I lit it, it went out. It didn't even catch for a second. So I ran around the house. You know, my wife keeps the Shabbos candles in a certain drawer. So I pulled out a Shabbos candle. By the way, that also was a whole to do because the Shabbos candle didn't fit into my box, which I have out here, which I can show you. So these things are very small. They fit in. The other one didn't fit in. So don't ask until I finally found a way of fitting it in to the box. The whole process took a while. And my question was, did I need a new bracha? Lemaisa, I didn't make another bracha. And today, when I started preparing the shiur, I started getting a little nervous because I see that over and over again, if the bracha was made, you know, on a certain object, and then that object is gone, then you're going to have to make a second bracha to replace this.
So again, I'm sorry, with regards to how your introduction, with regards to Kiddush, you have a bottle of wine on the table, you pour yourself a cup of wine, you make Kiddush on it, the kosher spills, it all falls all over the table, your wife's angry at you, now you have to pour new wine, and you would make Kiddush again.
So again, it could depend on the following. If there's no wine on the table, then for sure I have to make Kiddush again. It's possible, that's what we want to investigate, that if there's wine on the table, which I deliberately brought there because I was thinking that, you know, let's say I use up the cup and I'll need more wine or whatever it might be. There are a lot of people at the table and I want to give them from the Kiddush. So my mind, my das, included not just the wine that's in the cup. Then some poskim might argue that you don't have to make a new kiddush. Just fill up the cup and drink it and you're okay.
Okay, I don't want to get on talking topic before you get started, but yeah. If you're saying that you do not have to make another thing because you had that in mind, would somebody else be able to use that wine to pour into his cup and use that for kiddush, a second person at the table? Maybe you've already been mekadesh that cup and now you have a problem.
If we're going to say that the Kiddush somehow is related to all the wine on the table, then presumably anyone could be Yotze with any of the wine on the table. You know, it's not Dafka the wine that's in this cup. Let's go through it step by step, because what I really worked a lot on today, for today's Shia, is this tshuva, which is on page 10 from the Ram Shik. Before we get to Ram Shik, his name is Rav Moshe Shik, I want to just give a little bit more of an introduction. We're going to see in the Maram Shik later on that he makes a distinction between the bracha and the mitzvah itself. And he says the following, that even if the mitzvah itself, the ma'aseh mitzvah as we call it, was invalid, but nevertheless the bracha was valid. So for example, he's going to come up with a distinction between the case of Dalet Minim, where he didn't have a kosher arava, and a case, for example, of what was the case that he gave? Yeah, where he didn't have any wine in the cup at all. And he says the following: if you're making a bar priya gothen and there's no wine in the cup, then the bracha itself is invalid. But if you made an al netilas lulav, so he wants to claim that's a valid bracha because you actually have a lulav. You don't have an arava, but you have a lulav. He's going to get into. So my question to you is: let's say I made a bracha on what I thought was oil, and it turns out that it's not oil, or at least it's not an oil that could burn. Or, for example, does this distinction between the bracha and the ma'aseh mitzvah apply in every single mitzvah? Meaning, if the mitzvah is separate from the bracha, and the bracha is separate from the mitzvah, like let's say, for example, we have a principle in mitzvahs that ein brachas ma'akvos es mitzvah. So I can be yotze the mitzvah without the bracha. It means that the bracha is independent and it doesn't define the very nature of the mitzvah. Then you could certainly argue that even if the ma'aseh mitzvah was not successful, but the bracha was successful, let me just take a substitute ma'aseh mitzvah and the bracha will be chal on that. But what happens in a case where the bracha is essential to the mitzvah? The bracha defines the mitzvah. Like, for example, in Kiddush. I wouldn't say that the bracha of Kiddush is separate from Kiddush itself. Kiddush is a bracha. In such a case, I don't think that the distinction between the bracha and the ma'aseh mitzvah, to say, well, the bracha stands on its own 2 feet and it's valid, now just come up with a different ma'aseh mitzvah. I don't know if you could say such a thing, because the bracha and the ma'aseh mitzvah are one unit or one entity. Now, you'll ask me, okay, that's true in the case of Kiddush. I certainly would accept your definition that the bracha and the mitzvah are one and the same. The ma'aseh mitzvah is the ma'aseh bracha. But where do we find elsewhere in the case of mitzvahs that the bracha is essential and integral to the ma'aseh mitzvah, and without the bracha, the ma'aseh mitzvah is gone? Meaning, you know, you could talk about mitzvahs where the mitzvah is the bracha, like Kiddush, or like Birkas HaMazon, or like the Kriyat Shema. Maybe there's a separate mitzvah of Birkas Kriyat Shema. So then I understand very well that you cannot differentiate between the ma'aseh mitzvah and the bracha. But is there such an entity as a mitzvah where the bracha is part of the ma'aseh mitzvah? And if you don't do the bracha, you don't have the ma'aseh mitzvah. Because the ma'aseh mitzvah is not a separate entity, but it depends upon the bracha itself. And I think we once discussed this, if I'm not mistaken, in the name of Rav Yaakov Emden. Does this ring any sort of vague bell? That Rav Yaakov Emden wanted to suggest that Ner Chanukah is different than any other mitzvah, because Ner Chanukah needs what's called Hekera. Meaning, in those days, they used to light illuminate their homes with candles. They didn't have electricity. So what's the difference between one candle and another candle? Who says that this candle is a Chefetz Shel Ner Chanukah? What sets it up as such? Where do you get the Hekera that identifies the nature, the character, the personality, if you will, of this Ner as a Ner Chanukah? Maybe it's Litzar Kohen. So we have the Shamash, for example. The Shamash is Litzar Kohen, and therefore, why did he light a second candle? That's one answer to this question. But Rav Yaakov Emden came up with his own answer to this question. And he said that the bracha, which is recited before you light the candle, that sets up the candle as a ner mitzvah. That gives the hekera to the ner. And therefore he goes on to say that if a person would light Ner Chanukah without the bracha, he would not be Yotze. Because the Ner itself is lacking, it's deficient in Hekera. The Hekera element is supplied by the bracha. So keep this in mind. This is Rav Yaakov Emden in his famous Sefer Maru Ktzia, in which Ner Chanukah becomes a unique mitzvah in the shall we call it the constellation of mitzvahs, insofar as the bracha is concerned. The bracha is not a separate entity from the mitzvah, but rather it's part of the mitzvah itself. So keep that in mind as we go through the tshuva of the Rav Shik. But first, again, I want to just mention a few things. Now, the one who really analyzes our issue for the first time on page 10, all the way on the top, it's only 3.5 lines, it's the Kaf HaChaim. And he writes, Uvda b'Chanukah, he tells us a story that happened on Chanukah, Shehischil echad levarech shtei abrachos, b'choshu shoyesh shemen. He recites the two brachas and he thinks he has oil. Velo nimtza. Guess what? Have a surprise for you. There's no oil in there. Mibnesha shachacho litain shemen. Militain shemen. He forgot to put shemen in there. Now, you and I might think, how could he fool himself into thinking that there's shemen there? So I gave you my example from last night. Another example might be that he used a leftover, let's say from last year, or let's say from one day to the other, he used the leftover candle, and he thought there was oil in the candle, there was a wick, and all he has is a wick, but he doesn't have any oil. So does he make another bracha when he adds the shemen? That's the question of the Kaf HaChaim. And in order to answer this question, he says, Inyan Kaze Isai found a parallel case by Poskim in the literature, Inyan Birchas HaPri, with regard to Birchas HaPri. Now, in order to appreciate what he means by Birchas HaPri, we have to go back to page 1. And that's the case in the Yerushalmi, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Just one second, I'll get the right page here. Yeah. So the Yerushalmi, which is on the top of your page 1, speaks about a case where he had turmesin, he made a bracha, and he dropped it. Mao. What's the din? Does he need a new bracha? And Yerushalmi makes the distinction and says that if he had das mitchila for other vegetables of that sort, that's one thing. But if lo lekach kivein daita mitchila, if he didn't have kavana mitchila for anything else, let's say he only has one, or he only is interested in eating one. So he says then he would have to repeat the bracha. So if you take a look in the Tur in Aruch Chaim, which is the next source on your page, Resh Vav, he says, Natal biyado pri liochlo birich olav and nafal miyado v'nevad tzorech lachzor levarech. And here he adds, and this is going to be the basis for the Shulchan Aruch, afal pi shahoya me osa min lefanov, he has other foods from the same category. Nevertheless, he would have to repeat his bracha. Let's see the again. There are a lot of details here in the Beis Yosef, but I'm going to fast forward for a minute to page 2, and we'll simply, for a shortcut, we'll take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that nafal biyado, etc., tzorech lachzor. And now we have a comment from the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Rak shaloha yadaito olav liachlo." He says that if he had other fruits or vegetables of the same sort, in front of him, lefanov. So if he didn't have any das to eat any of them, then he has to make another bracha. The implication is that if he had in mind to eat more than one fruit, then his bracha is related not just to that one particular fruit that he has in his hand, but to all the fruits of that sort on the table. So the Bi'ar Loch of the Mishnah Berurah writes that L'das HaMachaber, the Machaber doesn't make any distinctions. He says, Afilu B'daito B'hejal HaKol L'yochlo, even though he had explicit intention to eat all of it, Gam King Tzarech Lachsel L'varech. Once he picks up a particular pri into his hand, then Ikar B'rchoso Hayal Zeh She'ocheis B'yodav Ashar Nigrar Achrov Memela, but there's no bracha on the rest. And then if you look at the Bir Halacha on the bottom left, he continues and he says, Eladila harama hiskim ledina ki yeser aposkim shacholkim usvir lehu devedaito lechol kulam ein tzarech lachsel levarech. So if he has das for the other fruits, then he doesn't need a bracha. So l'maisa, we have a machlokas in between the Mechaber and the Ramah, according to the Bir Halacha. And Halacha L'maisa, you can guess what the final verdict is going to be in a case where he has other fruits, which he intended to eat. The Mishnah Berurah, here on the side, on the right side of the bottom, he says, Imhayu B'daito B'shas Brocha Lechol Gam Hashar, is then he quotes the Ramah, and the poskim like the Ramah, that Ein Tzarech Levarech, and even though there are many Rishonim that disagree, the Afilu Bistoma, even if he had in mind to eat more of the fruits, Gamkein, according to that opinion, is Ein Tzarech Levar, but according to the Mechaber, he would have to make a bracha. He says, Sofek brachos lahaka. So now, let's try to analyze for a moment the words of the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim has the case where he made a bracha, he made his brachas on Ner Chanukah, and lo and behold, he finds that there's no shemen in the Chanukah. So he tells us that Inyan Kazeh Isa B'Peros. Now I'm not sure what he means by Inyan Hazeh Hu K'Peros. It sounds like he might be saying that just like in Peros, if he dropped that fruit that he took up his hand, he has to make another bracha. Here too, he has to make another bracha. But if that be the case, then maybe the Kaf HaChaim would argue, like the Ramah, that if he has other oil on the table, and he had das on, you know, on the shemen that's there, that's available, then he would not have to make another bracha. That would be, at least according to the Ramah, that would be a perfect parallel between Ner Chanukah and Birchas HaPeros. Now,
how can I have das from the other shemen that I don't need? Peros, I could imagine that I may want more.
Right. In the case of Peros, I want to eat more than one fruit. But Dan's arguing that in the case of shemen, why would I want to add shemen? Okay, excellent question. But I wanted to ask a different question for a moment, and then maybe we'll come back to your question, Dan. Just in terms of the way I organized it in my mind, I was thinking the following. The Kaf HaChaim also sends us to Hilchas Kiddush. Do you see where he writes, U'matzasi lataz simon reish ayin aleph? If you see those words on the right side on the top of page 10 in the Kaf HaChaim, and you fast forward to Reish Ayin Aleph, which we'll do in just a moment, Amir Sashem, then you'll see there that the halacha is, and that's on page 3, with regard to Kiddush, that Haya B'Shas HaKiddush Yayin Al HaShulchan, if at the time of Kiddush he had wine on the table, Ola safsol etzlo mukhan lishtos, is Oz Vaday Ein Tzarch Levarach Shuv Lo Bori Pri Agofen V'lo L'kari Shenis El Yishtem Ben Amuchan Lefonov. The Taz says that if he has wine available, he just takes that wine and that's it. He's Yotze Kiddush. He doesn't have to make another Kiddush. So it seems that the Kaf HaChaim is assuming that in some sense, although there's no Shemin in the Chanukiah, but he has Shemin in front of him, he has the bottle of oil right there in front of him, then either consciously or subconsciously, but in the depths of his heart, you know, he's thinking that, you know what? If I don't have enough oil, I have oil here in front of me. Again, Dan, you're pointing out that that's not what he's thinking because he believes that he has enough oil there. But in a theoretical sense, he might be saying that, you know what, if you ask him, tap him on the back and say, well, you know, this oil is not, it's spilled, this, that, you know, whatever happened to it. Then he says, well, I have a whole bottle of oil here on the table. My problem is the following. I don't understand the very fundamental equation, the premise of the Kaf HaChaim. He's telling me that the laws that govern Borei Pri HaGofen, in the case of Kiddush, or Borei Pri HaEitz in the case of Birchas HaNenim in Peros, that those laws can form, can serve as the paradigm for Birchas HaMitzvah, like Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And I'm not sure that that's so, because Birchas HaNenim means I'm being Mevarech on the Hanah. What Hanah am I getting? Okay, so right now I'm picking up one fruit. a minute later I'll pick up another fruit. I got all these fruits available. So my Birchas HaNenim is going to potter up all the fruits. Every fruit that I have is related to the Birchas HaNenim. And the same should apply to Bar Priya Goffin and Kiddush. But that's not the case in Birchas HaMitzvahs. In Birchas HaMitzvah, I'm setting up a Maisa Mitzvah, right? I'm putting on tzitzis, I'm putting on tefillin, I'm blowing a shofar, I'm lighting Ner Chanukah, and my bracha is chal on this mitzvah. I don't know that I can expand my bracha and say, well, you know, my bracha should be chal on any potential Maisa Mitzvah. In Nenim, I understand that the Hanah defines the Mitzvah. What is the Hanah? Okay, we'll see. We'll work it out. You know, my bracha is related to any Hanah that possibly could come under that bracha. I can't be Nenim and Olam HaZeh below bracha. But I'm not sure if in the case of Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a fair analysis, a fair comparison to say that, well, he has in mind that it'll be Mekayim and Mitzvah with a different pair of tefillin, a different shofar, a different shemen. This is what he has in mind. Or the brach is chal on the Maisa Mitzvah. I don't know. But having said that, I would just like to spend a little bit of time on this tshuva the Maram Shik. So if you could possibly turn to page 10, and he's the originator of this story, Be'uvda She'ira, that the person who asked this question had this maisa, Shebechanaka Shachach Lita in Shemin B'ner, right, he used old psilos, and he thought there was Shemin that was going to feed the psila, and he made the bracha, and then immediately he sees, wait a minute, there's no Shemin there. And now he wants to know, when he adds the Shemin, does he have to make a new bracha? And he says the following, that it would seem, based on the Magen Avraham from Kiddush, the case is we made Kiddush and he found out that there's no wine in the cup, it's only water, or the cup spills. And he quotes a sefer called Kerem Shlomo, and the Kerem Shlomo wants to say that he has to make another bracha. Then he writes the same Sefer Keren Shlomo, quoted here in the Tshuvas Maram Shik, Yesh lechalik, desham hayamayim, v'lo kiddush al yayin klal. that maybe there's a difference between a case where he had wine in the cup and then it spilled, as opposed to the case where he had no wine in the cup, he fooled himself and it turns out to be Mayim. In the case of Mayim, then he didn't make Kiddush al Yayin. In the case of Yayin, he made Kiddush al Yayin, just that he doesn't have the possibility of linking up his Kiddush with a Shtiyah of Yayin. Maybe that's a little different. And therefore, getting back to this case of Ner Chanukah, im lo haya nosein shemen, if he has old psilos but he has no shemen, then that's like the case where instead of making kiddush on wine, he made kiddush on water, and therefore the bracha is not chal at all. And this is all the way that the shoel, this anonymous, unidentified questioner, presented the shaila. Apparently he was a big Talmud Chacham. He was able to quote the Kerem Shlomo, and he was able to make this equation between the law of Birech ala Yayim v'nimtza Mayim and the case of Birech ala Shemen v'nimtza Shein bo Shemen. And therefore he says, im b'shas hadloka lo haya bo Shemen kishir ve'achkach hosif Shemen. Lo yotzi de chovasa. Okay, this is beautiful. We have halach in Shulchan Aruch. I'm just going to have to find it, but I don't have time right now to find it. If somebody could find it very quickly, it's in one of these pages, but I don't remember right now where it is. Sorry. It's probably on page 9, which I don't have in front of me now.
Well, the case with the water and the wine, his original bracha was not correct to begin with, because he made a Boripia Guffin to start the vehicle, and that messed him up to start with. Here, there's no bracha on the vehicle that you're using.
Well, the bracha is on the ner, right? Lahadlik ner shalchanik. He doesn't have a ner if he has no shemen. And he quotes here the Mechaber in Simon Tafresh Ayin Hay, which right now I don't find in front of me. I know it's here, but I don't find it. Sorry. And the Mechaber says in Tafresh Ayin Hay that you have to put enough oil into the candle to last for a half hour. And let's say, for example, he lit the candles with a bracha, and it was no Shemen Kishir. Now he adds Shemen into the lit candle. Lo yatzei yidei chovaso. The Mechaber paskins that why didn't he fulfill his mitzvah? Because there was no shear of oil. So the shoel here, as he presents the question to Maram Shik, says, how much more so if there's no oil at all in the candle? And the Mechaber paskins, in the case where there's less than a shear, that he has to start from scratch. He has to blow out the candle, fill in his nair with shemen, and then recite a bracha and light it again. And this is
it's the bottom of page 10.
Oh, so thank you so much. The bottom of there it is, right on top. It's good. He says the following. He says, I'm going to skip the first part of Bay's, get to the point. He said, Tzarech liten shemen b'nekdei shir konem hadlok. The shir has to be there before he lights. In birech v'hidlik v'akach hosif shemen, in order to fulfill the shir, to fill in the shir, lo yotzi lechovaso. And therefore, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Tzarech lechabosa v'liten bo shemen kishir v'latzo lehadlik lo bracha. I mean, at the face of it, There's no more precise analogy than this one. It's like almost Hainu Ha. What's the difference between a case where a man makes a bracha and there's no shemen there, as opposed to the Mechaber's case where he has shemen but he doesn't have kishir, and he's got to start from scratch and then make a bracha and rekindle the light with the shir of shemen? Here, he doesn't have shemen at all. Now, the word omnam, which is the beginning of the second paragraph, that begins Rabbi Shishik's answer to the shoel. And he says, Nira, Ledina Nira, the Ain't Tzarech Levarach Parmacheres. You know, when I saw this, I breathed a little bit of a sigh of relief, because as I told you, this happened to me last night. And he starts with the word Chada. which means that he's going to give a barrage of reasons why he thinks you don't have to make another bracha. And his first point is, again, looking at the Mechaber here on the bottom of the page. He starts with Yesh Misha Omer. You know, there's this whole presentation of the Mechaber that since he didn't have a shear of Shemen, therefore he has to start from the beginning again and rewrite and re-recite the brachas the second time. That's all in the name of Yesh Misha Omer, implying that there's another opinion. And here the Maram Shik does a beautiful analysis. And he quotes the Tosfos at the beginning of the sugya of my Chanukah, of Chanukah, and Shabbos Chof Aleph. And Tosfos says the following. All right, let me just give you a little quick synopsis of the Tosfos, so we'll appreciate his chiddush here. Tosfos says, the Gemara wants to know, what's the law if you light the candle and it goes out? And the Gemara quotes an opinion that says, Kavsa ain zakik, he doesn't have to rekindle it. So Gemara asks the Kasha, the Brisa says, Mitzvasa, Shiyehe madlik mi shkia sacham and shetichle regel min ashuk. And my love, the Gemara thinks, that certainly it means that if it goes out, then he has to rekindle, because the mitzvah is shetei mudlek esmi. That's how the Gemara understood it, that it has to be lit from shkia until tichle regel min ashuk. So the Gemara offers two answers. The first answer is, no, let's reinterpret the braisa when it says mitzvasa mishkia sacham et shetichle. What it means is the ilo adlik madlik, that if he didn't light at that time period, meaning with Shkia Sachama, then he can go ahead and light as long as it's not yet Tichle Regel Min Ashuk. Then the Gemara gives the second answer, Inavali Shi'ura, that what it means when it says Mi Shkia Sachama Shetichle Regel means that's the amount of oil that you have to have in the candle. But according to both answers, Kavsa Ein Zakakla. So Tosfos says that there's a machlokes between the two answers. The first answer holds that mean during this period of time, that's when you have to do that adlaka, but you don't need a shear. The second answer holds, no, that there's got to be a shear of ner to last for that period of time. So if we pass like the second answer of Tosfos, then we have the Yesh Misha Omer here in the Mechaber and Tov Reish Ayin Hey, meaning that if you lit a candle and it didn't have the shear, that's nothing. So you have to start from scratch. And certainly you're going to have to make a new bracha. But if you go like the first teretz of the Gemara, you don't need a shear. In fact, what the first teretz of the Gemara is learning in the Braisa is that if you light the candle 1 minute, 1 second before Tichle Regel Min Ashuk, you're yotze. Because that's the period of time within which you have to light. So immediately after Tichle Regel Min Ashuk, let's say the candle goes out, or you only put in a small amount of oil, you were yotze. Why? Because you had hadlaka in that period of time, and hadlaka was a mitzvah, and kavsa ain zakakla, so you don't have to rekindle. So how much oil do you have to have in the candle? Well, you have to have enough oil in the candle that can light that last minute before Hashem Tichle Regel Min Ashuk. And therefore, according to the first answer of the Gemara, you don't need a shear of oil of that should last a half hour. Now, the Mechaber only mentions the second answer of the Gemara, the Yesh Misha Omer, and Tzar Sheite and Shemen Bener Kedei Shear Kodem Adlaka. But that's because the Mechaber is being Machmir. He doesn't want to accept the kula of the first teretz, since the Gemara gives the second teretz. However, nevertheless, as far as the first teretz is concerned, there's no need to put that much oil in the ner. Now Tosfos comes over the chiddush, and this is a big deal in the Maram Shik. Tosfos says that even the second teretz of the Gemara that requires shemen kashir, that's only at the time of the Gemara, because at the time of the Gemara, the mitzvah was pirsum hanes for the people on the outside. But bizman hazeh, The Gemara establishes that we light on the inside of the house, and the pirsum anes is not for the outside. So this whole business about shetichla regelman ashuk, how, you know, until what point are the people walking around in the streets, that's irrelevant today. And therefore Tosfos says, we can paskin like the first answer of the Gemara, and all you need is that the candle somehow be lit within this time period. You don't need enough shemen to last during this entire period, because that doesn't make sense, bizman hazeh. So therefore, if you take a look in this paragraph, Amnam, on the fourth line, he writes, Ein sarach litein shemen kishir, gam ledina de Gemara. You know, it's not only because we accept the first teretz, I don't have to go that far, but I can even say that the second teretz de Gemara that requires a shir, that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. And you don't need that much shemen in the oil, in the thing. He says, Ulatiritz Arishon, I'm just fast forwarding a little bit in the same paragraph. He says, Al Karchach, Lo Tsarech Litain Bashemen Kishir Azeh. Darei Lefi Atiritz Arishon, Ilo Adlik Madlik. That's the Lashon of the Gemara for the first teretz. It means that he's not allowed to be madlik liachar shetichla regem hashuk and rishoy lahadlik. The lesbe oz persume nisa klal. Vafilu hachi, according to the first teretz, imadlik rega kodem shetichla regem hashuk, that very last moment, rishoy lavarach, he makes a bracha. V'yamai harei ma shedolek achar shetichla hashuk kiman de lesedomi. If the kiyum is pirsumanes up until that time, then all that lasts in the candle after that time is meaningless. V'im kein, havi kein bo shemen el al rega. He only has enough shemen for 1 minute. V'afilu achi, according to the first text, Gemara Mevarech, is muchach, therefore that according to the first text, you don't have to do, put in enough shemen to last kishir, and even a kol shu is enough. Im kein, Nehi danan mesafkel on ledina, even though lalacha, we're going to have to be concerned about the opinion of the second teretz, and we're going to require a shir, that's only lechatchila. Avalim lo nasan, but if he didn't put kishir, ein lo lachzor levarech. We're not going to say, well, according to the second teretz, you have to start from scratch and make a new bracha, but rather we're going to say that the first teretz is right. And we're going to rely on the fact that he was Yotze, even if there wasn't enough shemen in the candle to last for a half hour. Chay nire tishina hatur loshen ha'rosh v'lo kosav el shetzarech litain kodem adloka. That means the chatchili should put enough oil in the candle for before he lights it in order to be Yotze the second teretz of the Gemara. But clearly, in a fallback situation, b'di'evet, if he did not put enough shemen, is then he doesn't have to rekindle it. He's not sure exactly why the mechaber accepts the second teretz of the Gemara without even blinking, and he says that if he adds shemen after that luck, he's not yotze. What about the first teretz of the Gemara? And he points out the Pri Chadash has this question on the Shulchan Aruch as well. So in any event, he wants to say the following, that if he lit the Psila, see, this is not necessarily going to help for my case, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no, but he says if he lit with a Psila Yeshana, an old psila, and it didn't last very long, because only afterwards did he remind himself that there was no oil in this snare. Then b'di'evet he's yotze. He didn't have enough shear of shemen. The answer is we're not going to rely. L'chatchila we're going to require, but b'di'evet we're not going to say that therefore he wasn't yotze. So I think what he's saying is, if I read this correctly, that there's a certain very minimal or limited amount of oil that somehow is absorbed into the psila, and that's why it lasted for a second, And now we have the issue of you didn't have a shear of shemen. So the halacha is b'dieved is yotze. So let him just fill in, you know, pour in the shemen, fill in the shear, and then shalom al Yisrael. He doesn't have to make another bracha. He's not going to put out the candle if he doesn't have to, and everything's fine. Then he writes the following. The ode, as I told you before, that was chada. The ode, he says, Nira, dafilui kaimel and kalishna basra, debein and dafka shir shal chatzi shah. Let's assume, like the Mechaber, that we accept the second teretz of the Gemara, hook, line, and sinker, so the Ner Chanuk has to have a shir. Mikomakom, hare gam bidalid minim ma'akfin zed zed. Certainly, the requirement of having all four minim is identical with the shir of a chatzi shah in Shemen Shal Ner Chanuk. Vafilu achi, posak ha-magid Avram, on the top left column. Now he quotes Siman Tofresh Nun Aleph. This we didn't see anyone quoting. The Embirich al-Luav, v'lo hoya bo arava, notel acherkach, he grabs an arava, u'bracha rishon mahani. The Magen Avram says he doesn't have to make another bracha, even though now he's taking the fourth min. And therefore he says, Hachinami, here too, in our case of Ner Chanukah, all the moments that make up of Chatzi Shah, im hidliku birech al rega v'shuv hosif shemen, that's not worse than the case where he has to add an arava. If the bracha on Dalet Minim is chal, even though there was no arava, then he just takes the arava, then the bracha on Ner Chanukah should be chal, and let him add the shir afterwards. And then he goes on to enter into the question of Das. Okay, but before we get into that, I want to just point out to you that if you, again, I'm going to skip a few lines just for pedagogical reasons, but towards the end of that paragraph, it's Tzorach L'chalek, he says that there's a difference between the case where he left out the Arava and the case where he didn't have Shemen. And we're holding now like the second teretz of the Gemara, like the Mechaber passes that we need Shemen Kashir. He says, Kema the Bishas Hadlok Elo Hayabo Kashir Shetiknu Chachamim. He says a piece of love is here, that if the Chacham requires Shir and he didn't have that Shir, is then he didn't make a bracha on a Ner Chanukah, because the Ner Chanukah didn't have a Shir. Masha'en Kein Le'inyin Mevarech Al Netilas Lulav Harei Not Al Lulav.
Yeah, you wouldn't say with the lulav once he put it down, if he had put it down before he picked up the new arava, that he wouldn't have to make a new bracha, would you?
Yes, because we paskin zechar ze yotza. Our minug of taking all four minim together,
yeah.
that's only a heder mitzvah. That's cool.
I understand, but I'm saying if after a time period, a certain time period.
Could be, you're right. Yeah, then there's a hefsek in zman. But his point is that he did take a lulav. Now, honestly, I like the chap, but I don't think it's right, because a lulav is not a lulav. A lulav is all four minim. You know, the poskim talk why we make the brach on the lulav, because the lulav is the tallest of the four minim. But clearly the brach is not on the lulav. If a man takes a lulav, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. It's garnish veret. But anyway, he wants to say the following, that Ner Chanukah, if you need a shear and it doesn't have a shear, does hasten it to Ner Chanukah, and therefore your bracha is not a valid bracha. But in the middle of this paragraph, he writes the following. He says, Im hoya daito mitchilo, birach al kavana zos, lo eida lomo lo yotza yedei chovaso. He wants to suggest that maybe if he had in mind that he would guarantee himself enough shemen, then he should be yotzei b'dieved. So again, there are a few different arguments here in the Ramshik. One argument is that you don't need a shear at all. The other argument is that even if I grant you that you need a shear, then maybe the bracha should be invalid because that's not an Ner Chanukah. But maybe if you had das, that's a little bit different. And he says, I'll call upon him near in the next paragraph, that even if you'll tell me that he knew that there wasn't enough shemen there, and he made a bracha, the answer is, that's a little bit different. because then he violates the Takonis Chachamim. If the Takonis Chachamim was to have a shear and he didn't have a shear, then his bracha was on that nair, which is not a nair, avolim tah. But if he made a mistake and he thought that he had enough shemen for the shear, and he made the bracha lefi kavanasa karoi, is then bevadai certainly mosif achakach shemen v'ein tzarch levarach shemes. So he comes to the conclusion here that there are two different cases. One case is where he decides that, you know, even though he knows he doesn't have enough shemen kashir, he's going to make the bracha. No, we're going to tell him that bracha is meaningless, if you all like the second terrace. If on the other hand he made a toast, he thought he had shemen and he didn't have shemen, then let him just add shemen. And he doesn't have to make another bracha. And he has a very interesting proof from the Magen Avraham in Tuf Pei Tes, that's Hilchas Sfiras HaOmer. The Imbirach Aldas Limnos Karoi. He wanted to make a bracha to count the right day, but he didn't have David. What's his last name? You know, my friend David who makes those cards, you know, for Sfiras HaOmer. You didn't get it? Every year he produces that card, and the card tells you what day of the week. And
right, yeah.
Yeah, David, the British man. Anyway.
David Siegel.
David Siegel, right. So that he counted the wrong night, and now he catches himself because he hears the tzibur that, or he sees the sign, you know, what's the right counting. So the Magen Avraham paskens he doesn't have to make another bracha, because his das was to fulfill the mitzvah. He made a mistake about how to do so. And basically he says the following, that you're going to quote, and that's what the Kaf HaChaim did, quote the halacha in Tav Reish Ayin, in Tav Ayin Aleph regarding Kiddush, that if in the case of Kiddush he finds out that he has water instead of Yayin, that he has to make another bracha. He says there, the Maisa HaMitzvah was Shaloka Tikkuna, and the Bracha was Shaloka Tikkuna, because the Bracha and the Mitzvah are one and the same. And therefore he has to start from scratch. So that which he made a Bracha of Kiddush on water, forget about that. That's not going to do us any good. Masha Enkin Bebirchas HaMitzvah Nehida Maisa Lo Havi Kitikuna. Even if I grant you that lighting shemen that doesn't last is not going to be a maisa mitzvah, but nevertheless the bracha was ketikuna, because his bracha was almanas that he would fulfill this mitzvah. So now let him go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. The bracha is not, there's nothing wrong, there's no problem with the bracha. Now I know we're running out of time, but I just want to point out to you that if you take a look at page 11, you have the Mikrai Kodesh who quotes the Maru Ktsia, which is Rav Yaakov Emden, that I mentioned earlier in the shir, and you'll see this in the second paragraph. Again, the first paragraph is also very important, but just to try to fit it into the short amount of time that we have. And he says that even though in general we have a rule that Eina Brachas Makvos is a mitzvah, Mikomako Birchas Ner Chanukah Shani Ubirchas Makeves Mishum Dechol Ikro Lepersume Nisa, and unless you make the bracha, it's not clear Lo Minkar Milsa Klal Delashay Mitzvah Kovet, that this little candle that you're lighting is to publicize the miracle, and it was lit for the purpose of the mitzvah of Persume Nisa. So therefore the goof of the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, is Ikro Lepersume Nes Vitzorch Shetei Adloka Muchachas Be'atzma. It has to be absolutely demonstrated that he, that his lola tzarka, that this hadlaka was not for his purpose. Elushay mitzvahs ner chanukah na yedea bracha hu shenasis hadlaka. It means that the bracha is part of the ma'isa mitzvah. And on the top left, you'll see he says kevan shabracha, since the bracha is part of the ma'isa mitzvah ma'keves the chelik me'etzim mitzvahs hadlaka. So it's, you know, the Asiyas HaMitzvah is made up of two parts, the Bracha and the Hadlaka. And he goes on to say, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Frank, that he wants to prove this Shita in the Rambam, because the Rambam writes that in a case of Ashishis, Shedlikal Mitzvah Skanakver of Shabbos, one second, he has a diuk in the Rambam, because the Rambam says Madlik Umevarech, just one second. Let's see, Perek Dalet Halacha Tes. He says Ashishis Sohaisa Dolekas Kolayom Kulo. So he's got a candle that was lit the entire day during Shabbos. Ulamotzi Shabbos Mechabe Umevarech Umadlika. So he points out that in the Gemara itself, it doesn't say Umevarech Umadlika. Why did the Rambam add Umevarech? So he wants to say that because this Nair was lit already before Shabbos, it lasted through Shabbos, Hashishis means a very large quantity of oil, therefore it's Litzarko, and now he has to convert it from Litzarko into a Nair Chanukah. The only way he can do that is through the Bracha. So the Bracha now, I mean, you'll ask, why did the Rambam have to say Madlik Umevarech? In general, you always have to make a Bracha. And the Rambam has already established it. There's no reason why the Rambam has to emphasize. But here in this case, the Bracha demonstrates that it's Liner Mitzvah. So Memela, Rabosai, we're going back to the Rav Shik, and with this we'll conclude. The Rav Shik wants to make a distinction in Birchas HaMitzvah between the case of Kiddush and the case of Chanukah. In the case of Kiddush, he says, you have the Maisa Mitzvah and the Bracha as part of the Mitzvah. In the case of Chanukah, you have the Bracha as a separate entity in the Maisa Mitzvah. Therefore, the Bracha, if it's valid, can be valid, and now you just have to do the Maisa Mitzvah. It means the Bracha is related to the ultimate Kiyuma Mitzvah. When and how you're going to implement that Maisa Mitzvah in order to achieve the Kiyuma Mitzvah, that's secondary. And as long as the Bracha is valid unto itself, then it's mitlatoli, you know, it hangs in the air, and then you'll finally fill in the hadlaka whenever you get a chance to do so. But that's only because the bracha has a meaning unto itself. It's an independent entity, and he made that bracha. Masha Enkein, the mice hadlaka, that's already something different. But if we hold like the Maru Ktsia, that the bracha in the case of the Chanukah is different than every other. So we're going to bring all sorts of proofs where, you know, you pick up the talis and then you don't have to make another bracha and so forth and so on. All those cases, that's fine and dandy because there the bracha itself is meaningful, independent of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is independent of the bracha. But in the case of Chanukah, according to Rav Yaakov Emden, the mitzvah is not independent of the bracha, but rather depends upon the bracha. The bracha is part of the Maisa Mitzvah, and therefore the distinction between the bracha and the Maisa Mitzvah, which underlies the thesis of the Rav Shik, is not correct. Obviously, the Rav Shik is not committed to accept Rav Yaakov Emden, and he could understand that Birchas Ner Chanukah is like every other bracha, and it's a separate entity, and once the bracha is a separate entity, I could validate it, and then fill in the Maisa Mitzvah whenever I fill it in. That makes logical sense, that if you want to take upon yourself a chumrah, that Bizman HaZeh, that people are in the shuk for such a long time, I should add so much oil. That's, you know, don't add that to the
kula. I want the chumrah because I also want the kula, that I'm not tied to Le'ad Likr in the first half an hour.
Ah, so on the one hand, I have a kula that I'm not limited to the first half hour because I have a different standard of tichla regel v'neshuk, and I can get persuminis at a late hour. I can light at midnight and still be makai the mitzvah there chadik because I have persuminis.
I have to take the kula without the chumrah.
Oh, so now lechora we should expand the shir. Okay, we'll expand the shir as far as the first nair is concerned, and then we'll be yotzei zayin with that first candle because we have a candle that'll last for 3 hours, and that's wonderful. But we don't have to impose that chumrah on the second candle, which is only midin mahadrin.
Right. Yeah. Isn't this a convention?
I think so, yeah. I think we find in the poskim, I forget exactly where, that as far as the Hidur mitzvah candles, we don't have to go so far. I mean, it's not in this context, but in general. I have to give you a few examples, but that the Hidur mitzvah, well, by the way, this whole question whether the second, let's say, for example, tonight, well, I don't want to say tonight because it's not your time. Yesterday, we lit one candle. That was a joke, but nobody laughed. Okay, anyway, so what I mean to say is tonight we're going to light two candles. In fact, wow, I got to light in about 10 minutes from now. Tonight we're going to light two candles. Whether the second candle has a full-fledged din of a status of Ner Chanukah. Lamaisa, the question is whether a Ner Shel Hidur has the same din as the original Ner of Ner Yishubeso, that's Likuva. If, let's say, I forgot to make my bracha before I lit the first candle, and now I remembered before I light the second candle, can I make the bracha on the Hidur mitzvah? That's a gigantic issue unto itself in Ner Chanukah. Okay, Rabosai? Now, we mentioned Hilchot Tzitzis, so I just wanted to point out that you'll see here on page 3 of Yamar Makomas pages, the Mechaber in Simon Ches, as far as Tzitzis is concerned, that for the Kiyumah Mitzvah Tzitzis, you need that it be al Gufo, and therefore if it falls, Shalobim is Kavin, then histayim kiyum mitzvah lilvash tatal shenis ol varch shuv, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes that birach al talis v'nofal miyodo kodem shenis atev bo. So before he got a chance to put it around his head, it already fell on the ground. Now he picks it up vilbisho, higbio vilbisho ein tzarch levarch shenis. And the reason for that is because Kevin Shadayin lo osa mitzvah solo hisiach daito. So you see the mitzvah, the brachas on the kiyuma mitzvah. But on the other hand, he says that it seems to depend upon his kavana. But the kavana for sure is on the kiyuma mitzvah. Now, why is he making bracha? Obviously, he wants to fulfill his mitzvah. And in birchas hamitzvahs, when you make a bracha and you want to be mekayim the mitzvah, it's like the case of Hanah that we discussed before, where he wants to have the Hanah, so he makes the bracha, and whatever apples or pears he eats, that's what he eats. So if a moment before the Kiyum HaMitzvah, before he's Misatik Batalis, it becomes clear to him that he cannot be Mekayim the Mitzvah with this object, because it becomes possible, or let's say it gets taken away from him, or something of that sort, he doesn't have to make a second bracha if he has available another object with which he could be mekayim the mitzvah. And in that sense, it's just like the case of birchas haperos, of birchas hanenim, where he has this general kind of kavana that's all inclusive. Now we find something similar in Tefillin, and you'll find here a tshuva of the Zera Emes, which you'll find on page 4. And there, the Kaf HaChaim is quoting the Zera Emes on the bottom of the page 4, and he says that if he wears one pair of tefillin, now he wants to change to another pair of tefillin, and he needs a bracha. And let's say, for example, he makes a bracha on anochas tefillin, and then when he does the hiduk, somehow the kesher gets unraveled. Ein shon mishi yodeh letaken es hakesher. He didn't have, unfortunately, anyone to fix up the tefillin for him, so Hutzok he had to take Lakach's tefillin acher, a second pair of tefillin, is then he's Choser Umavarech. So it means that the bracha was chal on one pair of tefillin, not on a second pair of tefillin. He never had das for a different pair of tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah adds the Dami Lahad de Simon Reish Vav Sif Vav, with the bracha of a peri that falls, and he can no longer eat that fruit. And we saw that the requirement of whether or not he's required to make a new bracha depends on his das at the time of his original bracha. One could argue that in the case of tefillin, if nifsak hakesher or whatever happened to the tefillin, and now he has to take advantage of a second pair of tefillin to replace the first, then he certainly has to make a brach because he didn't have das at the time the brach on another pair of tefillin. And this leads us to the case of Kriyas HaTorah, which you'll see here in Siman Kuf Mem on page 5. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that if he made a bracha on the Kriyas HaTorah, and his das is on that which is in front of him at the time that he made the bracha, the machlokus is going to be whether he had das on all the parashis in the Torah that are in front of him, and this is a discussion of the Mishnah Berurah. Or, for example, the case of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, where they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and whether or not, if they bring a second Sefer, he has to make a new bracha. And basically, the Mishnah Berurah establishes a principle that his bracha Rishona was on the beginning of his Kriya on the first Sefer Torah, but if he had das from the beginning on the entire Parsha, and whatever parsha, whatever Sefer Torah takes to read that parsha, then he wants that brach to be chal on the parsha. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah opens up the possibility that he doesn't have to make a second brach on the second Sefer Torah. And if you take a look at the Mishmeres Chaim of Rav Scheinberg, he asks, what's the difference between the case of tefillin, where if he finds out after he made the bracha on his tefillin up psulos, nifshak hakesher, he has to take another pair of tefillin, he has to make another bracha. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, if he finds a psul in the Sefer Torah, he doesn't have to go back and make a second bracha on the Kriya in the second Sefer Torah. And he suggests the distinction, the answer, that the bracha on Kriya Sefer Torah is on the Torah itself, not on the Cheftza of the Sefer Torah, but on the Torah itself. And therefore the bracha is on the Torah, no matter which Sefer Torah takes, but in the case of tefillin, his bracha is on the tefillin itself. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here, and I want to wish everyone a wonderful Freilich and Chanukah. Thank you so much.